Feel free to let that bitch know that I hope she dies screaming. All right, welcome to TYG Podcast, episode 41. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about some misplaced nostalgia, the Dust 514 beta, comic books, and some Android software. First, we're going to get started with who's here this week. So, to the left of me, we have Lorenzo.
Yo.
Followed by Trevor.
Hello.
Followed by Mark.
So.
And Mike's here.
Nope. I thought you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, he just refuses to say hello. But yeah, we're going to get right into speed round news for this week. Yeah, I'm going to start with game news. The first story is another Capcom mishap, though I suppose last week wasn't really so much of a mishap. It was stuff got stolen. But it was discovered today that they are using fan art on their website for the box art of a game, and they didn't notice. The full story here is that if you go to the Capcom US site and go to DS titles, look for Phoenix Wright Trials and Tribulations, you'll see for the box art instead a image for a... It was basically just someone made this fan art. It's called... it's a DS cover for a title called Trials After Justice, which doesn't exist. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this seems like... Is this a trend for Capcom? I know they've had like mishaps in the past.
It definitely seems like it is a trend. First, they had their issues with the spelling mistakes on, what, Asura's Wrath and Resident Evil for the 3DS.
Oh, Revilations?
Yeah, Revilations, which I still have that copy. But no, this is, I don't know, it continues to happen with them.
I don't understand how they could let this keep getting through, like,
honestly, can somebody explain to me what the fuck is going on with Japanese game development companies? Because, really, every story I've heard in the last, like... Ever since I started doing this podcast, it's about, every week there's usually at least one story of a Japanese game development company acting like a pack of screaming idiots. Yeah. Like, what is going on?
I can't really tell you. Though, to be fair, this is on the, this is the fault of basically the US team, because this is the US website, but
Well, in that case, it doesn't fit into the pattern, and I'm gonna just shut the hell up.
No, but I can't argue that the pattern's definitely there. I mean, they do all sorts of things, like say we're gonna start a project with the fans behind it. We're gonna make a new Mega Man game and then cancel it. They cancel like every other Mega Man. Oh, by the way, this is not really of this topic, but also like Mega Man Online or Rockman Online in Japan, that's canceled. So is there even another Mega Man game coming out? I don't think so.
Incidentally, thanks for bearing the lead, jackass.
What?
Would have been nice to know that, this was done by Capcom US at the beginning of the story.
I'm sorry. I failed to mention that.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I'm following the Fox News School of Reporting News, where I just report what I want you to know.
That's never
a
good idea.
No, it's...
So get the story clear, though. So basically, took this piece of art that fans had posted...
They probably Google image searched it and typed in Trials and Tribulations, and it was the first one that popped up.
And they said, this is cool, let me put this on the game.
Now, I think it was more so they Google image searched it and then just sort of put it on their website, not thinking, for the same reason. Didn't, like, Okami have, like, the IGN logo on it, the box art? So,
yeah. I don't even know. It did. I remember that.
I don't even know.
Oh, wow.
Anyways,
These are the people that send out copyright notices to everyone else.
I know, for real, thinking that.
Exactly. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next topic, because 2 minutes have passed, even though I didn't set the timer. So, the next one, let's see here. The next one involves, yes, the 3G PlayStation, guys. The PlayStation Vita. It wasn't in Canada for the longest time, because it didn't have a carrier that supported it. But it was just announced today that... Rogers will be the official carrier for the PlayStation Vita, the 3G version in Canada, and that they have plans for... There's, like, no contract, but it's, like, $30 a month or something.
I think this is a great idea. Since there's no actual games for the Vita, a 3G connection means you can use the Vita to do other things while you're not playing games with it.
That's true. I mean, it's got a pretty decent Twitter app.
Well said, Lorenzo.
It's got a pretty decent Twitter app and a pretty decent Facebook app.
And a good map app.
And I hear that if you mess around with it enough, you could actually receive text messages. So you could just have like a really bad phone.
And you can use Skype on it.
Yeah, you could have an actual phone.
Yeah.
with the Skype, you know what? There you go. We've solved the problem of having to pay for like minutes and a data plan, guys. Just buy a Vita, get the data plan, get a Skype number. There you go. Do some side talking.
Just if you're going to use a Skype, don't walk around in public with it because you might walk into traffic.
Oh.
And we don't want to hear death by Skype.
Well, to be fair, that'll happen even if you're not using Skype.
Depends on who's on the other line, end of the line.
Exactly. I mean, how many times have I seen, well, this is mostly specifically in Hamilton, but whatever. Just people walking around with their freaking smartphones, not even paying attention to what's going on.
Trust me, it's not Hamilton.
It's everywhere.
It's just everywhere?
Everywhere. It's just the day and age now.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, you can get a Rogers PlayStation 3G Vita.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. No. I'm happy with my Wi-Fi model. I mean, I can only use it when I'm in an area that has Wi-Fi, but...
But like, what are you going to do? You're going to try to download like a 3-gig game and kill your data? Like, you're not going to do that. There's no point. I don't see a point to having this thing. It's like it's $399. It uses SIM cards. Bleh. I don't even know anymore,
so
guys.
So that's $150 just for the SIM card.
No, the SIM card comes with the console when you buy it.
Yeah, it's $399, right?
No, it's $299.
Okay, so it's $50 extra for the... Yeah,
it's $50 extra for the SIM card and the 3G radio.
Oh, yay.
But yeah, that's that story. Apparently this thing doesn't ring, it just sort of goes through it. next story involves the Steam Big Picture mode. Now that just went... Oh, wait, you wanted to say something?
I think the next story involves Jay fucking up.
No, this thing doesn't make noises. Oh, I know why it doesn't make noises, because it's on silent.
Oh!
Oh, Android, you realize unification's everything. Okay, next story involves the Steam Big Picture beta, which has just started yesterday, I believe, for the majority of users. Now, do you guys know what the Steam Big Picture mode is? Okay, so Trevor knows.
As far as I know, it's the ability to play Steam, well, not Steam, but the ability to play your computer on your big Steam TV and actually have the resolution proper. For most games.
Yeah.
Which is good because I've actually just recently had the honor of playing Left 4 Dead 2 on my friend's big screen TV and the resolution wasn't the greatest.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's exactly that, but...
Well, it does help a bit from what I've been reading.
Okay. Have any of you guys use Steam? Okay, so it's pretty much just me and Trevor's court. I actually tried it out a little bit today when I had some free time. And then, you know, I did the whole thing where I hooked it up to my TV, I turned Steam into big picture mode, and I started using the controller. So basically, what it lets you to do is you could pretty much navigate the Steam menu, so you could select whatever games you have on your library and just start them up that way. So it's basically like, it turns your PC into what is essentially a Steam console.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the only problem that they have right now, from what I've noticed, is that not all games support controllers. So while you may be able to start a game with a controller... It does you no good if you could just start the game and then you have to go up to your keyboard.
Yeah.
So. And it's especially annoying with certain games like Left 4 Dead 2, where like you could start the game with the controller, you can even play the game with the controller, but you can't skip the cutscenes unless you go up to your keyboard and hit escape and then set the controller to... It's just... I definitely like the idea. Do you guys think that's a good idea?
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it totally makes sense as an idea to be able to play games on the bigger screen in your living room rather than just playing them on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's an awesome idea.
Yeah, I agree.
If they can make it work properly.
I think it works. It should work fine. It's just you need more games with controller support. And oddly enough, it's more thanks to Microsoft than it is to Steam that games have controller support nowadays. So.
Well, there you go.
So, essentially, it's just the bigger screen with the quality now.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. There we go. I got the sound working, guys. All right, we're going to...
Slow clap.
Okay. I want to hear the slow clap. Thank you. All right. I actually feel sad now. All right, we're going to move on to tech news. First story involves the... I don't know if you guys heard about this, but Nokia announced some new Windows Phone 8 phones. They announced the Lumia 820. And the Lumia 920. Now, the big story here isn't that they announced those phones. Whatever. It's better phones, better hardware, all that kinds of shit. New OS. The real funny story here is that they had this ad that was supposed to push this whole idea of that these new... Or the 920 specifically has this fantastic camera. It's like an 8 megapixel... Or I don't know how many megapixels, but it's like pure view camera. It's fantastic. And they filmed this entire... like commercial for it, and like it's showing like photos of all these things. It's like, oh, this commercial is fantastic, the photos look fantastic. The entire commercial turns out was doctored. All of the video footage and images were taken from a DSLR, and people were able to figure this out because while watching the commercial, you could see like pretty much the reflection of a guy using the DSLR chasing these people using the cameras in like cars and windows and shit. So what do you guys think about that?
I think that's fucking hilarious, actually. And I think it's a perfect example of how much of an anachronism that Nokia has become.
Yeah.
And actually, I was surprised that they're still releasing phones. They still exist, apparently.
Yeah, definitely.
And
yeah, they still exist. It's amazing after the, I don't know if you guys remember it, the N-Gage.
Oh, that wasn't what killed them. What
it
killed
almost
them was,
did.
No, that didn't kill them. What killed them was them not adapting quick enough.
Well, okay, when I worked at EB Games, I sold the entire time that system came out, one. And we sent 200 of them.
I'm shocked that you even sold one.
Yeah, I know. That amazed me, too.
I don't know.
I think, honestly, though, I think that's absolutely that hilarious.
Yeah.
That's like...
raving about an all new, oh new my God. Amazing camera on a phone. Yeah, we're using a DSLR. Really? Can they stoop any dumb? Like,
No, the best part is that nobody actually in post paid close enough attention to the footage they were editing to notice the reflections of the camera.
Yeah. Or maybe they did, and they're just like, nobody will notice, nobody will notice, nobody will notice.
Yeah, sure, yeah. They won't notice it.
Yeah, the same attention to detail and quality controls that exemplifies all of Nokia's current problems.
Or maybe Capcom helped.
Maybe they hired Capcom for this.
Maybe they just downloaded some videos taken on the web.
Maybe they actually had the footage, but then this guy chasing them with a DSLR just put it on YouTube. And they're like, oh, we could just use that.
Yeah, fuck it. We'll just use that.
I don't even have to edit this. This guy did it for us. Fuck. I don't know. I do want to say that the phones themselves look really nice. I mean, there's one thing that Nokia could do. It's make a decent, like, body of a phone, like, actual hardware-wise. I just wish they didn't use Windows Phone 8.
Because... It's a really nice paperweight.
Yeah, it's a fantastic-looking paperweight.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Fantastic. Just waiting for that to go down. Just and one more second. Oh, yeah. There we go, buddy.
That sounded disturbing on so many levels right now.
Did it go off, Jay?
Oh, it went off.
Oh, oh God.
Okay.
We can't use that.
Yes, you can. That's all I have left. All right, the next story involves Android tablets. Now, did you guys know that, well, more than just Android tablets, Amazon had a press event recently where they unveiled a whole new bunch of Kindles. Now, the first of which being was a cheaper version of their, I guess, the low-end Kindle, where it's basically just like, okay, this is an e-ink display thing. It's gone from, it used to be $80, now it's $70 with ads.
Hmm.
And the existing 7-inch Kindle Fire has been... apparently, they've upgraded it with a slightly faster processor and doubled the memory and cut the price to $160. Now, what they also announced was two new Kindle Fire HDs. There's a 7-inch tablet and a 8.9-inch version of this tablet. The 7-inch... Let me see here. The 7-inch model runs basically an equivalent to a 720p screen, and the 8.9-inch tablet runs a 1920 by 1200 screen. And the prices for these things are, let's see here.
Wasn't the, I think like one of them was like $299, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay, I'm looking right here. Essentially, the Kindle Fire HD 7-inch version is $199 for 16 gigabytes and $249 for 32 gigabytes. And the 8.9-inch model is $299 for 16 gigabytes and $369 for 32 gigabyte models. Now, the thing here is both of these Kindle Fires will still be running the forked version of Android that Amazon runs, so it's their own version of Android. I just have a question for you guys here. Would you guys be interested in any of these things? Like, actually, the e-readers themselves are pretty interesting to me because those things are very lightweight and good for books, but like the Kindle Fire, it just seems like too little too late to me.
I personally don't see an interest in them, even though the specs for the newer ones they released weren't too bad. The price, though, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, the 7-inch is basically in line with the Nexus 7.
Yeah.
But, and it's got more internal memory, but from what I could tell, like, even if, I didn't really look at the exact specs of the things, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't have as powerful of graphics processors as the Nexus 7.
No.
Honestly, if you're not running Jelly Bean, I don't see the point. Like,
and that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, while... They're releasing these tablets at a relatively competitive price point and with relatively competitive form factors and graphics displays. For me, the issue is very simple. I'm not going to buy into a device that has a forked version of Android. To me, it's like, I think ultimately, what I'm hoping Google manages to achieve with the Nexus 7 is to establish a market point where everyone has to be on stock Android to be able to compete, because people will not go and spend their money on forked versions of Android. Because to me, the greatest thing that could happen to the Android platform is a unification of standards to where everybody ends up on the same version running the stock Android OS. So I, as much as these devices might be awesome, I actually kind of hope they fail, because I want the market to push towards running stock Android as much as possible. I know for myself, I wouldn't buy an Android device that wasn't running the stock OS.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
I also thought it was hilarious that Amazon's CEO or whoever was apparently talking to the press and mentioned that Android tablets weren't selling that well because people don't want gadgets. Meanwhile, both the Kindles are Android tablets.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
I'm not really sure what his reasoning is, but whatever.
He's special.
Well, no, I wouldn't badmouth the Amazon CEO. I mean, this is us continuing on after the 2 minutes, but
yeah.
I technically don't have another news story, so we can continue on another 2 minutes if you guys like, but yeah. We're not going to. I just want to make a point that, like, Amazon makes a lot of money. And I do think that them doing these tablets is basically just them trying to get content consuming devices into people's hands.
No, right. I totally get that, but they still run Android in some forms, so... Yeah. I don't understand how you draw the distinction between Android tablets that are gadgets and Android tablets that are awesome because they are made by Amazon.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it seems... I don't know if you guys heard about this, but Toys R Us has got an Android tablet coming out for kids.
What?
Yeah. It was announced today. It's a tablet that's made specifically for kids, running the Android OS. I forget the name of it. I saw an image of it. It looks... really weird.
I want to know the name very terribly, so
look up
to figure it out.
Toys R Us Android tablet. It was announced like just today. And was just,
to me, the only way that would be awesome is if it was red and it came with an Etch-a-Sketch program on it.
Oh,
that would be awesome.
Epic.
Why hasn't someone made an app for that?
That's actually amazing that someone hasn't made an app.
I know.
I still think have that my original Etch-a-Sketch at home. It still works.
I don't know. I just see news stories for Toys R Us announces... Oh, it's the Tabio.
Yeah, the Tabio.
The Tabio.
Yeah.
Does it have flowing long hair? And advertises, I can't believe it's not butter?
It's possible. No, it advertises Jeffrey Giraffe. That's what it advertises. Holy fuck. All right, let's get off of news this week. Yeah. Let's get into some of the main topics of discussion. The first thing we actually wanted to talk about was some misplaced nostalgia. Now, I know Lorenzo was the one who actually wanted to bring this up, because you recently started watching a TV show from your childhood that you actually didn't see the ending of, right?
Right. So, I like, when I was a kid, I watched, it was on YTV, it was Zoids, New Century Zero, and I never actually saw the end of the show, and I used to really like that show as a kid, so the thought struck me the other day, and I was like, you know, I never actually saw the end of that show, I should download it, so at least I know what the fuck happened. But then I started watching it, and I'm like, wow, this show is terrible. I can't believe how crappy this show is.
Yeah.
It makes me kind of afraid to go back and rewatch other shows from my childhood, because I think I'm going to realize that a lot of them were very, very bad. And there's a few cases in which I know they were bad and won't even consider, like G.I. Joe. Like, mm-hmm. Does anybody remember the G.I. Joe mm-hmm. cartoon?
I got traumatized when Duke had the cobra come through his chest. In the movie. I remember that scene. It traumatized me as a kid.
Wait, there was a G.I. Joe movie?
There was an animated movie that came out for TV, and they killed off Duke, and the way they killed him off is that Cobra went right through his back and through his chest. And it's like, as a kid, that traumatized me.
Did Cobra Commander then go, Cobra!
No, he did say that at least once or twice before.
That's all he says. He might as well be Pikachu except saying Cobra.
I don't know. One of my favorites as a kid, though, one of my favorites as a kid was Gargoyles.
Oh.
Remember Gargoyles?
Yeah, but that's a show that you could look...
show.
That was an awesome show no matter what.
But that's a show you could look back on and actually, like, enjoy still from what I've heard. Like, I want to know shows that you guys watched that, like, you loved as a kid and you went back and you're like, oh, fuck.
Fine example of that for me was, I don't know if you guys remember from... It was on Global, the animated Cops series. That, like, I watched
Cops?
And it was an animated cartoon based on Cops.
Oh yeah,
like it Bad was... Boys, Bad Boys.
No, not that one.
Oh. No, like cops. Yeah. Cops isn't the term of like police. Yeah, officers.
Police officers. And oh, okay. That's, the, I was understanding.
It was
like...
set in the future, and at the time that I watched it as a kid, I loved it, and I went back to watching it just recently because my wife never heard of it and never seen it because it was only I think in Canada as far as I remember.
Yeah, and I think it was a Canadian.
I watched Canadian it with her. Program. She's sitting there going, "Why am I watching this?" I'm like, "You know what? I don't know."
It's... Another one of those for me is definitely Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's unwatchable now. Yeah.
But in the original version with subtitles.
Yeah.
Well, no, okay, fine, but...
As a kid, yeah, it was kind of like, what right. the fuck is this
No,
shit?
No, but the major thing is when they re-released it, in like the version where they cut out all the filler,
all the Kai,
the like 300 episodes of Dragon Ball Z were reduced to like 70.
Yeah.
It was like...
Yep.
That's the part that is, if you go back and watch the ones you saw as a kid, it's
like what?
Nothing happens on this show. Like, fucking one thing happens every four episodes. What the fuck? It's like watching paint dry. It's worse than watching baseball. Like, it's terrible.
Speaking of Dragon Ball Z, I was going to bring this up a while ago, but they're making a, I don't know how they're going to do this, but it's coming out March 2013, a whole new movie set in Dragon Ball Z, like the anime movie.
Oh, didn't they make a like a live one? Like,
yeah, the Dragon Ball Evolution.
Yeah, that was horrific.
I looked at
bad.
It. I looked at the trailer when that came out, and I was like, just for the happiness of my childhood, I am not going to go watch this movie.
I made the mistake of seeing that, and I want to slam my head into a wall.
I recently watched that movie on cable television with a friend because we had nothing better to do, and the entire time we were watching it, we were just saying things like, remember that time when Goku was in high school and he was being bullied? Or remember that time when, you know, Chi-Chi was shooting guns and all kinds of dumb
happened.
Shit? Remember that time when...
Dragon Ball was cool?
Yeah. Well, here's the ironic thing about that movie is Toriyama was actually part of the team making that movie. He got too involved and said, fuck off, we're going to do it our way. Like... How do you boot out the guy who pretty much brought the franchise that a lot of people grew up and loved out of a movie that turned out to be nothing at all like the original series?
Hollywood. Well, that's, yeah, Hollywood.
Essentially, it was made and forgotten.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
That's why like I'm not looking forward to the next movie coming out, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I didn't want
to. I kid you not. And guess who plays Hansel? The same guy who played Hawkeye. His career is just down, gone.
Really?
Yep.
He shouldn't do that movie.
He went too late!
Wait.
Because that Bourne movie...
Hawkeye from Avengers and also the new
Bourne.
He's playing in an action movie about witch hunters off a kid's fairy
tale. He goes from
Hawkeye
to...
Jason Bourne or whatever
Jason's,
it was.
Jason Bourne.
A Bourne movie,
essentially. Bourne movie, yeah. To now Hansel and Gretel.
To running around in a leotard.
He's actually dressed in a trench coat, all black. He's got, like, shotguns.
I haven't seen the trailer, so...
I watched it and, oh my god, when are they making the Pinocchio one next? They might as well. They've got Abraham Lincoln.
Give that to Tim Burton. He'll figure it out.
Yeah.
He'll cast Johnny Depp.
He'll be like, Pinocchio, poke this.
Oh, God. Liars never lie.
Oh, fuck.
Holy but shit.
Sidetrack us back onto the topic of actual discussion for 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, do you remember other shows you watched as a kid? Like, I don't know, He-Man and the Masters.
Yes.
Okay, like,
These shows were so bad.
I recently was watching, this was oddly enough, I was watching television in Wisconsin. It was probably like 4 or 5 months ago. Actually, longer. Longer than 4 or 5 months ago. But there was a television channel that turned into retro TV on the weekends, and for some reason we were watching it, and they had back-to-back He-Man and the She-Ra Princess of Power thing, and I couldn't get over this, like, the entirety of that show, She-Ra Princess of Power, is just,
so
like,
bad.
Her saving this guy who wears nothing but a harness chest the entire time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get this one part out of
my
head.
Too easy.
Yeah, I know, fuck. She's got this flying horse or whatever the fuck, right? I don't know what the bad guy was, but one of the bad guys freezes the horse, so she saves the horse. She breaks the ice, and she's like, are you okay, horse, whom I don't remember the name? And he's just like, so cold, so cold. And I started dying.
So the horse speaks.
Yeah, the horse speaks. Are you okay, horse? No. But yeah, there's tons of bad television.
That
would have
been
shows.
Funnier if it was voice acted by Sarah Jessica Parker.
Definitely. Did any of you guys watch the, I guess, the 90s Spider-Man cartoon?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yes. At least I remember it as being awesome. It was. I'm not going to go back and ruin my memories.
No, I remember it being awesome, too. Now, the problem with that show is, I actually watched it again recently, too, is that it has no sense of pacing whatsoever. Just like a million things are happening a minute, it doesn't slow down. It's just like, oh my god, Mary Jane's dead. Ah, fighting Carnage. Nothing. Yeah, like, you don't understand what's going on half the time. Doctor Strange is here. Fucking Mephisto? What? Holy fuck, there's clones and I'm fighting in the Secret Wars? What happened? What happened to my wife? Why is Hydro Man here? Green so Goblin? Cool. What?
That's how the cartoon was.
And all of a sudden it's Thanksgiving dinner. And it's like,
exactly.
What the hell just happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mysterio. I genuinely enjoyed that show as a kid, but yeah, it doesn't hold up nearly as well. I would say the same thing for the X-Men cartoon, though that definitely holds up more. It's just the animation is garbage in it.
Yeah, the animation is utterly terrible.
Yeah, I mean,
it holds up reasonably well.
You gotta give...
At least they actually did the Phoenix storyline before doing the Dark Phoenix storyline, so I'll give them credit for that.
That's true. I'm trying to think. I know there's a couple of other ones that I've seen more recently that are just like, they're completely god-awful that I've watched when I was a kid, but... I think the main problem I had as a kid is that a lot of times I'd end up watching TV in the weird hours of the night, so I'd watch a bunch of, like, old British sitcoms, which I hated, but then I watched those again later when I grew older, I'm like, holy shit, these shows are amazing, because it's just, like...
Yeah, there's actually a lot of, I mean, this is a complete aside now, but there's a lot of old British comedy shows that are
awesome.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah, I'm a specific fan of one specifically, so many specifics, it's called...
At least you're not saying absolutely.
I don't remember any of the actors of it, but I remember the show being on YTV. If you guys are Canadians, you know that station. But it was a show called My Family, I think. I fucking loved that show when I was a teenager once I started realizing what the fuck was going on. It's just like a father whose life is completely miserable because his kids are basically complete dirtbags. It's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. Actually, I do want to mention one thing, since we're on the whole topic of disappointment, and I noticed that you wanted to talk about this a little
Trevor?
Bit.
Trevor?
Yeah, I want to mention Trevor as a disappointment. No, Trevor, do you have any idea what's going on with River City Rampage?
Not River City, Retro City.
Retro City Rampage.
River City.
God, it's
That's basically game. What it's based off of, though, right?
No, it's
based off of everything.
It's based off every 8-bit game that came out in the last, I don't know, 20 years. But it's also paying homage to the, I don't know if anyone's ever played this, the original Grand Theft Auto.
I was going to mention one.
Like
I think probably...
Like the really weird sort of aerial view, and it's got all these weird...
Sorry to interrupt you, but like you said, last 8-bit games that came out in the last 20 years? I don't know.
It's probably the last 30 years.
30 years.
And for the record, you're 10 years older than you think.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
It's one of those moments. Yeah, it was like 20 years ago. Oh, wait.
I know.
Oh, fuck.
But no, it's paying homage to games like that, and...
Fuck.
But it was supposed to come out 3 weeks ago as part of the PlayStation Play thing that was going on during the summer.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out for that.
To come out. I remember talking to the guy who made it back in May. He said it's supposed to come out August 25th, and it's now missing in action. Sony hasn't said anything yet. I've emailed the studio that's making the game. They've said we don't know what's going on anymore. And if it doesn't come out, that's going to suck, because it is potentially an awesome game that's coming out for the Vita and the PS3.
Yeah, it wasn't originally supposed to be... I know it was supposed to be a WiiWare exclusive originally, so
It was too big, I think. Or no, the Nintendo had like a weird policy that he didn't approve of.
Yeah, I think it's like size things, or maybe it's the same reason why Super Meat Boy never came out, you know, this sort of deal. But
yeah, but still, like, it's been missing in action now for almost 2 weeks... And I don't know.
I was really looking forward to that game from the moment I saw it. So I do hope it still comes out.
I'm here.
And I don't know. I don't know who you are, man. But like, please
get
your shit together. Get your shit together. I want to give you my money. I will buy it on PlayStation 3. I will buy it on the Wii. I don't care. Just give it to me on something. I'll buy it.
Yeah.
It'll be
Not
fine.
Not the Wii. Not the Wii. That never happened.
The Wii U.
Oh, the Wii happened. Nintendo remembers all the millions they got from the Wii.
I hate that thing.
It loves you too.
All right. Okay, let's move on. Now, I know the Dust 514 beta has been starting recently, and I know, Trevor, you've actually had a chance to play it.
I got an invite. I haven't really played it. I installed, like, I downloaded my copy, haven't played it yet, but...
You haven't played it?
Okay. I haven't played it yet, but other people who I've, you know, had the honor of talking to in the forums who've played it say it is going to live up to the hype, and that the connection between that and EVE Online is flawless so far.
Okay, so I was actually unaware that the connection was even there yet.
Yeah. It's there, but they're still working out a... Not a bug. Maybe half the bugs are still left in it.
Half the bugs?
Yeah. Before, when they first launched the beta, it was riddled with bugs.
Yeah. I actually did notice, like, when I turned on my PlayStation 3 more recently, because I've been away from, like, my PlayStation 3. I haven't turned it on. Then I turned it on, and I was like, okay, now I'm going to download the new PlayStation Plus games, whatever the heck, since I have that subscription. Yeah. And I noticed, like, okay, Dust 514 beta. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I'm on the beta. I click thing, it's like, okay, no.
You have to pay $20.
You have to pay $20 to have... Why are they even putting that on my home screen? Do you guys, like...
It's a tease, honestly.
Yeah, like, that's... Imagine you guys, like, go to your computer. It's like, okay, you're invited to this beta. You go ahead, you click on it, it's like, okay, now give us $20. Like, how would you feel for that?
No.
Well, you got to understand that since one of the target demographics they're appealing to is the EVE Online player base... The EVE Online player base is easily going to be fanatical enough to throw $20 to get into the beta. Especially given the type of player base that EVE has. You have to understand, the people who play EVE, in order to be good at EVE, you have to invest a lot of time to understand the game. In order to be good at it. I don't mean just to be like one of like 6,000 duders in a fucking nullsec fleet.
Duders.
Yeah, who are like, you know, basically good for nothing and lose at like outnumbering their opponents 3-1 in small gang fights because they're not actually good at the game. But to actually be good at the game takes time. Yeah, I have no shame. That's what I used to do when I played EVE. When I actually had time to play EVE, I flew around in small gangs that we went and picked on home defense fleets from large nullsec alliances that were 2 or 3 times our size and then proceeded to raffle stomp them in 6 million-isk ruptures to the point when people Nullsec Alliances started complaining that ruptures were overpowered.
What?
The hilarity. Anyhow, the point is, so I could see a lot of the EVE player base being willing to pay to get into the beta of Dust 514 to be able to get a head start on understanding the game mechanics so that they're better at the game by the time it hits public release. So I could totally see that working.
Yeah. I don't know, just kind of...
It's a little weird of a cash grab.
Yeah, no, I can understand, like, having that option there, but then to forcefully put the icon on my PlayStation games list and then having me click on it and then saying, no, we need $20. Like, yeah. That seems a bit...
Yeah, that's a bit, like...
That's a bit fucked up.
Slap to the face.
I'm not even sure. I think I had CSGO there, too, but isn't that game already out?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't even know why that's on my list.
It's like a pusher.
A pusher?
Yo, you gotta buy this. Yo, you gotta buy this. Come on, man, you want this shit.
You wanna see my
stuff?
Is
there a way of advertising saying this game is out, buy it now so you see it first for it to go to the store and browse for it? I don't know why Sony is doing that. It is a little dumb.
You know what? If they're doing it that way, they're doing it more than Xbox 360 is doing right now, where it's like you open up your Xbox 360 and you see like ads for like Axe as opposed to ads for new games.
You open up your Xbox 360 and you die a little inside. Anyway, now that you have the beta for that game, I'd like to hear about it once you start playing it.
I'll be playing it probably tonight, most likely.
Excellent. Maybe do write a little bit about it for the site.
Yeah,
yeah. Hopefully we'll get our DVR working. We can actually get some footage recorded.
I'm hoping.
I need to look at that thing and just punch it until it works. I think
that's Jay's usual solution to every problem.
Exactly.
It works usually. It
works for old cars.
No, it does. It definitely does. It works for old TVs, too.
Yeah. Hmm?
I loved that back in the day. It's like, TV's not working. All right, hang on a second. Boom! There you go. Done. All right, let's move on to some Android discussion. Now, Lorenzo, you actually had a couple of things to talk about. I heard you downloaded a new keyboard, right?
Right. There's a lot of keyboards available for the Android platform, and I hate most of them.
Yeah.
Because most of them are a lot of them are the, like, draw lines to connect keys, which I know.
I've actually gotten used to those on my phone because it was one of the default ones installed,
right.
So I just got used to it. But
right. It doesn't feel right to me. But like I've tried a couple of alternate keyboards. One of the ones I tried was SwiftKey, which is awesome, except for one major problem. You know, on the default Android keyboard, when you type a word and it autocorrects after you hit space,
mm-hmm.
if you don't want that autocorrection, you can just hit backspace and undo the autocorrect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, SwiftKey doesn't have that, so I can't use it. It's got the best predictive word engine ever and the best autocorrect engine ever. It'll even autocorrect you missing the space bar and typing like three words strung together, it autocorrects it no problem. If they added that one feature to SwiftKey, it would be like, shut up and take my money. But until they do, I can't use it. But another one I tried, which is particularly useful for people who use their phones in landscape mode to type, or people who type on tablets, is what's it called? Thumb key or thumb keyboard, right?
Yeah, thumb keyboard.
Right. Sorry, I kind of forgot the name because it's kind of a generic name. But anyway, it's actually a really brilliant idea. What it does is, it gives you a lot of customizable keyboard layouts, but the one that's particularly amazing is for portrait landscape mode. And I'm going to show the guys on the podcast what it looks like so they have some idea of what the hell I'm talking about.
Riveting audio content.
Right. No, mountains no, but I'm going to describe it. I'm going to describe it as well. And
I will paint you guys a word picture.
Right. So when you turn the when you use the thing in landscape mode, it actually puts the navigation keys in the center of the keyboard so that the left half and the right half of the keyboard are pushed out towards the right and left edges of the phone in landscape mode. This is so that when you're typing with two thumbs on a phone in landscape mode, you don't have to like contort your hand to try to reach keys towards the center and keep missing the key you intend to type.
Yeah.
So at first it looks really weird when you look at it because you've got half the keyboard on one side of the screen. Then you've got a bunch of navigation keys, and then you've got the other half of the keyboard on the right side of the screen. But when you actually start typing, you realize that it's miles better to type on than a standard landscape screen. I can type almost as fast with my two thumbs in landscape mode on this keyboard as I can on an actual keyboard. It's ridiculous. And it's the same thing for a tablet. On a tablet, already the Nexus 7 is wide enough that it can be a little bit of a stretch to hit keys in the center. So they've got the separated into two halves keyboard for portrait mode, and they have a very separated two halves keyboard in landscape mode that makes it massively easier to type on a tablet in landscape mode.
All right, so for those of you guys who can't see what we're seeing, essentially, from what I was able to tell, it looks very similar to, say, if you had an iPad and you did the split keyboard on the iPad, or I guess another example would be like, remember those original ergonomic keyboards that Microsoft made where it split down the middle?
Right.
It's sort of like that. So like you have enough room on both ends to use keys on both sides.
Right.
It looks like it's a pretty good idea to use that sort of thing.
Almost everything about them is customizable. So that you can customize the spacing between keys. You can customize the height of the keys. If there's enough room on the screen, like for example in landscape mode, you can customize the width of the keys. You can customize the height of the spacebar row, which is a huge deal for me because the major typo mistake that I usually make typing on an Android that can't be caught by autocorrect is missing the spacebar.
Yeah.
So I made the spacebar 25% bigger on mine, and so now it's way, way harder to miss the spacebar. So it's really customizable. There's a lot of different themes for what the keyboard looks like as well. It's a really cool program. It's like $3 in Canadian dollars. But if you buy it once, if you have an Android phone and you have an Android tablet, you can use it on both because there's not separate versions of the program for phone and tablet.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my case, I ended up essentially splitting the cost between two devices.
One thing that's actually attracting me to it is the fact that you can make it as customizable as you want to the point where it's very comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like Lorenzo was saying, you don't have to reach across the screen in landscape mode to hit a certain button. And that's very, very attractive.
There's also a really weird-looking but innovative keyboard layout for portrait mode where half the keyboard is higher than the bottom half of the keyboard so that the keys can be much wider than they would fit horizontally across the screen. So it's like you have the what would be the left half of the keyboard about halfway up the screen in portrait mode and the right half of the keyboard under it but off to the right side on the bottom right of the screen. So if you can get used to typing with one hand halfway up your phone and the other hand on the right at the bottom of the phone, you can actually get much bigger keys that way. To me, it feels weird and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. But if you got used to it, it could be advantageous as well. So it's got a lot of customization to it. So I'm probably going to do a review for it for the site. at some point. So I just figured I'd mention it because I think it's really awesome. And, you know, it's an app that's been useful to me. So, and I've mentioned other apps that I found amazing. I think I mentioned Tablet Talk before on the podcast, which is amazing. If you have an Android phone and you have a Nexus 7 or other Android tablet, you have to get Tablet Talk right now. Because it lets you use your tablet as a Bluetooth device connected to your phone and or using Wi-Fi, and it will forward your SMS to your tablet. So that when you're reading or doing something else on your tablet and you keep getting texted by people, like I do because I have friends who text me incessantly, you don't have to keep putting down the tablet to grab your phone to answer texts and then go back to your tablet. You can just answer your text on your tablet. Hmm. So that's really awesome too. So I'm probably going to do a review for that one on the site as well at some point. That's going to be a little more work for me in video editing because I have to find a way to blur out all the incriminating stuff about names and contents of the texts. But once I figure out how to do that, which I already know how to do, but it takes work, I'll put up a review for that on the site as well. The other thing I wanted to mention while we're on the topic of Android apps is, if any of you guys have been checking out the site lately, you've probably seen my review for Cut the Rope, which I found, which I filmed using my camera and then edited and put up on YouTube. I now have the capability to record reviews off of my Nexus 7 fairly easily. So if any of our listeners have any ideas for Android games or Android apps they think I should take a look at doing a review of, send them in to podcast@thatsyourgarbage.com or to lorenzo@thatsyourgarbage.com and I'll check them out.
All right, sounds good. We should probably move on since we don't have too much more time. This is the last topic that we basically have for today, but I wanted to specifically discuss it because Mark's here, and we haven't talked about comics in a long-ass time, essentially. I think the last time we talked about comics was literally exactly a year ago when the New 52 started, and just now they're doing the zero issues of the New 52. You actually wrote an article about that, right?
Yes. Well, I mentioned it briefly. It was more so on the stats of the progress of the New 52 in comparison to Marvel and what they've been doing.
Yeah, I know Marvel's doing that whole Marvel Now initiative, which is not a reboot, but it's a relaunch.
It's a reboot.
Yeah, it's a rename.
It's a rename. You know what it is? It's them trying to trick people. They're like, okay, it's new issue number one, but all the continuity is still there, so you're going to buy the issue and be like, what the fuck's going on?
One thing I noticed with the statistics and their sales is that Marvel's still holding their fan base, but the DC has taken the lead, and which you guys will see in my article if you guys have read it. It's already up, but that DC has taken the lead in sales overall, and they're doing very well at the beginning of New 52. Like usual, it drops, people lose interest or whatnot, but they're still holding their ground. They're still holding supremacy over the comic book world, I guess you can say, for lack of a better explanation. But in terms of the number zero issues, I actually haven't had a chance to look through them. I plan to. They are out this month. I'm more focused on what's going on with the AVX, the Avengers vs. X-Men.
Yeah, that's actually a series that I've been reading myself over the past... It's been like two issues a month, right?
Yes, roughly every 2 to 3 weeks they come out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. I have them all up to date. Actually, you know what? The one that's coming out this month, I don't have yet. I'm not sure when the release date is actually.
Yeah.
But the final issue will be next month. I'm enjoying them. I'm actually enjoying them. I was a little bit skeptical at first. The art is fantastic.
Oh, yes,
the storyline is fantastic. One thing I did mention in my article, and which I'll mention right now, is that Marvel had noted that there is going to be a very epic conclusion to this.
Yeah, and you posted the teaser for the final issue, which
yes,
looks like
Marvel released the teaser, and the thing is that a lot of comic book fans are raving about that it looks like Phoenix, and Phoenix has been gone for a while. More
Jean
specifically,
Grey.
Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And she's been gone for a while. So this leads into the reuniting of the X-Men, possibly.
Yeah.
It's one of the thoughts that's going around.
it possibly can be hope because, you know, spoiler alert, but this is, it's the whole story is based around Hope Summers.
Yeah.
And her attachment to Phoenix, her being a vessel for Phoenix. But it's a possibility it could be Jean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's another step for Marvel and...
Yeah, I'm certainly interested in seeing where it's going. And honestly, at this point, I would say let's go ahead and, like, if we want to mention any spoilers for AVX 1 through 9, we're going to probably mention quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
But so if you don't want to be spoiled, read the issues and then listen to the rest of this after, because this is the last topic of the podcast. But I want to mention this one thing specifically, that AVX, for me, when I was reading it, it started out, it seemed to be very slow, and I liked how quickly things changed from the Avengers looking like the bad guys to the X-Men looking like the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was really weird just seeing, like, okay, you know, no, the Avengers are hunting down Hope, we need to stop the Phoenix from showing up, and they're pretty much, like, oppressing these people who are on the brink of extinction. And then all of a sudden, the mutants are in control of the Phoenix Force, and they're basically just... essentially, like, hunting down the Avengers. Like, literally, like, hunting them down to the ends of Earth, ends of the Earth and beating the shit out of them. Like, Spider-Man, it was like he was going to die in that one issue. I don't even know
what... What it reminded me of was, actually, if you guys ever saw the last installment for the Riddick movies.
The first one.
The second one was an anime.
Oh,
it was the third one.
The Chronicles of Riddick.
Was it called The Chronicles of Riddick, the final one?
Yeah, that's the
with the necromancers.
Right. No, whatever they're called. Right.
Yeah, there was something like that. Or
right.
Whatnot, right? They reminded me of them, the mutants, because of the fact that now they've been possessed by the Phoenix Force. Again, spoiler alert. But, and they had this vision of the way the universe and the planet should be, and they were forcing it upon everyone else.
Yeah.
Right?
Basically.
And they were obviously being poisoned by... the thoughts and the power of Phoenix, but that's what it kind of reminded me of.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? To give our listeners an idea of what kind of power they possess at this point. But
I'm actually very interested in what happens in the next issue, because I think the last issue is the one where essentially Hope pretty much beats back Scott Summers, who's also got the Phoenix Force at this point, right? Was that what happened last time?
Well, see, I haven't read 11 yet.
No, I'm talking about 10.
10, from what I remember,
10 was the one with
Scott shows up.
Yeah, he shows up and there's the dragon and Hope's just like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and then that's the way the issue ends.
Yeah. I'm really interested in what happens in issue 11, which I'm not even sure if it's out yet, to be honest.
I think it comes out.
Because he's just like, I need to find Emma. It's like, he's pretty much going to try to kill Emma at this point. Because he's batshit insane and so is she.
Yeah, I mean, with the loss of Colossus and whatnot, and they've realized that the power of the Phoenix... once they lose their counterparts, has been absorbed into them. So it's collecting again.
Yeah,
right?
The more of them that fall, the stronger they get. Like, Namor was the first one to fall.
Namor was the first.
And then, I don't remember Colossus.
For those that don't care to read it, the Phoenix Force, once it arrived on the moon, is where they first encountered it, it split into four.
Yeah.
Right?
And it split into five, actually, because Iron Man's like, I can stop it, and then he splits it into five pieces, and it possesses five X-Men.
No, it was four.
No.
Am I missing one?
There's Namor, Colossus, Colossus'
Emma?
Sister, Emma Frost.
Oh, yes, Colossus' sister,
and
well,
Scott.
Yeah, well, she's not really important.
I like how they pretty much, like, took each other out, though.
Yeah.
Mostly because Spider-Man tricked them after he got his skull crushed.
Speaking of Spider-Man, like, he's playing a big role in this. And I remember Marvel mentioning this, too, that he's taken on a very mentor role.
Yeah.
In this. And it's very un-Spider-Man-like. Because Spider-Man's always been... He's known to have a sidekick at one point. But he's always been the solo...
Actually, I don't think he's ever had a sidekick. More recently, he's gotten a sidekick with a character named Alpha.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone's been reading the
but
the
that's
current...
But that's what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And the idea he's using... Uncle Ben's mentality with Hope, right?
Yeah, he's like trying to teach her about power and responsibility sort of thing. I remember that specifically from that issue is like, you know, sometimes you got to step up even though, you know, what was the thing? The line was like, at any moment you'll realize you're in a situation where the big hitters are gone and someone needs to step up to make sure that people could get out alive.
Absolutely.
And that was basically what he did in that issue. He realized like, these two people possessed by the Phoenix Force are killing all of us. So mm-hmm. he basically pulled a, okay, I'm going to block off this entrance. You guys get the fuck out of here, and I'll hold them off for as long as I can. And then he basically got his skull crushed in.
Oh, yeah.
But he lived. I don't know how, but he it's comic
cleverness.
Books. Yeah, cleverness.
The man is clever. Well, the comic character is clever.
I do like how he basically turned them against each other.
Yeah.
Right, but you can't think your way out of a collapsed skull.
No,
you can't. No, no. Figuratively speaking, his skull didn't actually cave in.
No, but essentially they were like beating the ever-loving crap out of him. And like his inner monologue was like, I can't even feel anything anymore. So all he was
basically,
doing was, like,
they had his head slamming against a rock, and he was like, have you had enough yet?
Yeah.
You give up, right? Just to move forward with this, where do I see this going? I see one of three ways. Either it's Hope accepting the Phoenix Force and taking it for what it is. Either becoming a powerful mutant that will be on the side of good or the side of evil. It can either be Jean Grey with her triumphant return.
Yeah.
Or somebody completely new.
But they have to at least have red hair. Or at least long
yes,
hair. At least long
a
hair.
A likeness of Jean, right?
Yeah.
But Marvel hasn't really said, obviously, but...
Yeah, they don't want to spoil it, obviously.
But at the beginning of all this, there's two things they mentioned. They said there would be an epic ending, and that somebody will lose. Hmm. Those are two things that they did mention at the start of all this. So we'll see what happens in mid-October.
I can't imagine it's going to be the Avengers that lose, because if that's the case, then there didn't seem like there would be any need for the relaunch of the Avengers series and all this other stuff. But
yeah.
That's just me assuming things, so... Who knows?
It may be group-wise somebody will lose, or just individuals. You never know. Mm. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Since we're still in the discussion of comics, and we have a little bit of time left, I did want to mention that I'm not... At this point, you've been keeping up with the New 52 of Green Arrow, right?
As much as I can, yes.
Yeah. Have you been reading Justice League at all?
No.
All right. I actually haven't been reading that at all either, but they recently, the big reveal this month was that now apparently Superman and Wonder Woman are a couple.
Oh, yes. God. It was actually a few weeks ago they had their intimate kiss. Yep.
Yes. Intimate kiss.
Very intimate.
I'm just curious
about... The images
about,
are very touchy.
Yeah. I don't know. How many of you here are Superman fans at all? Like, because I'm not really a Superman fan.
I kind of am, but I've kind of lost respect how many times they've either killed him off, brought him back, rebooted him.
Overpowered.
Do you remember when he was made out of blue plasma energy?
Yes.
I remember that existing, but I had no idea what the fuck happened.
The amount of times they've killed him off...
I think Superman has... He is overpowered, and a lot of people hate this Boy Scoutness about him and whatnot, but I think DC is trying to turn that around. I think they've realized that's the image he now has, and they're trying to bring him out of that and almost make it seem like he's misunderstood, right?
Right. I mean, the traditional complaint with Superman has always been that he's literally everything that's wrong with superheroes as a genre. He is literally the embodiment of every trope that the entire 90s was spent fighting against, you know? And to me, the only redeeming feature the character of Superman has is literally Tarantino's rant through the mouth of the character of Bill in Kill Bill that actually, like, postulates Clark Kent as Superman's critique of humanity. To me, that's the only interesting interpretation that can give Superman any redeeming features whatsoever. I mean, I think it's really hard to take that character and do anything productive with him, because it's like, you know, you've got a character that's way too powerful, who has no in-character motivation for anything. It's like, okay, so you're an alien and you decide to become a superhero because. And you fight evil because. You know? It's and he's way too Boy Scoutish. You know, there's a lack of complexity and depth there that I think became the kind of whipping boy that everyone in the comics industry started to rail against, essentially.
Yeah. Oddly enough, there's one thing I do want to mention quickly, is that that's actually something that only happened more recently. I'm not sure exactly when, but like this is definitely, that was the trope for Superman in at least the 90s and up to the 2000s. I'm not sure about the 80s or the 70s, but back in the original age, Superman was kind of a dick, like leaving people to die in the desert and kind of shit like that.
Well, here's the interesting historical fact about Superman. He came out around the time of World War II.
Yeah.
Right? He was just a comic strip.
Yep.
To start. Actually, and he was actually, he actually started as a villain.
Yeah.
He was a mastermind in the sense of, let's say, Lex Luthor.
Yeah, wasn't the story supposed to be like Rise of the Superman or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. And the funny thing is, with Superman, which I actually read this recently in an article about him, he started as this villain who's in a comic strip. He had the kind of persona of Lex Luthor, but Hitler, Adolf Hitler, had taken an interest in American media, which is around the time of World War II, and he actually liked the philosophy behind Superman, as a villain. So the creators found this out, and they're like, there is no fucking way that this madman is going to like our
character.
Yeah. So they immediately turned him around into this superhero, and his first comics essentially were fighting Nazi or Nazi-like characters.
The thing that baffles me with the whole love between Wonder Woman and Superman is they're in love with each other in that respect, but Clark Kent's still in love with Lois Lane.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
You know what I think this is?
That's messed up.
I think this is probably stems from the main problem that DC has been having recently with their whole continuity after the whole New 52 thing. Mm-hmm. And that involves the fact that they said, okay, we have this 5-year timeline of where everything happened after the series rebooted. Now, during that, you have one comic book where Superman's going around on doing his own thing, and he's really interested in Lois Lane, even though she wants pretty much nothing to do with him, or she's not. Yeah. She's dating some other guy. And in another continuity, you got him, in the past, figuring out how to use his powers, and he's still, it's the Grant Morrison run in Action Comics, where he's not the all-powerful Superman he is.
He's still trying to figure it out.
He's trying to
the Smallville kind of rendition of...
Yeah, basically something like that. And then the Justice League version, which I think is... I'm not sure who writes it. Is it also Grant Morrison, or is it someone else? I know Jimmy.
I'd lie to you if I told you. I don't remember.
I think it might... I'm not sure, to be honest. Might be Geoff Johns. I might be wrong, but that version is essentially it's in the team aspect of the book. So I think that what they're trying to do with that book specifically is starting to have relationships between the characters in that team, sort of like what the Teen Titans did in the 90s, everyone was fucking everybody in the 90s, the Teen Titans comic books. So I think it's an interesting thing for them to do. I mean, at this point, if you're going to reboot an entire franchise, why would you just go straight back to him having a love interest in Lois Lane? That would be pointless, right?
Yeah.
I think it all literally comes all down to attracting an audience. For instance, recent news of comics is Green Goblin. Oh, God. I'm thinking Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Green Lantern and his coming out of the closet Earth 2, right? Or, all these different things that are going on. It's attracting audiences, right?
Yeah.
Love interest. Everyone loves Superman to say. Everyone loves Wonder Woman to say. Why not bring these two characters together? Ooh, something big, right?
Yeah, that's true. So now that you mentioned Earth 2, I do want to mention one thing here. I'm actually very impressed with the story going on in Earth 2, and I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil things for you here, as if you haven't
watched. Spoiler alert!
I like how in Earth 2, they immediately introduce the Trinity, which is, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and then they kill them off away.
Yes.
And they die trying to save the world, and then the rest of it is the world rebuilding and new heroes emerging because of the original Trinity dying. I think that's a much cooler story than having Superman around, fucking piece the fuck outing every villain that shows up.
So it's similar to the storyline of DC Universe Online. With the whole, Batman does get dished off.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of brutal he gets dished off in that, too.
Pretty much everyone gets dished off in that one, but I don't know. I really enjoy most of the stuff in the DC New 52. Well, not all of it. I've basically only been reading Green Lantern. I've been reading Green Lantern. I've been reading, I'm not sure if it's Detective Comics or Batman, the one that's written by Scott Snyder. I can't remember because all the Batman tells are a fucking blur to me. But
where's Mike when you need him? Mike? Exactly. Any comment, Mike? He doesn't really say much.
No, he doesn't say much. He refuses to talk if you say his name, so I'm not sure what we're going to do from that, but I don't know. I'm liking what's been happening with comics recently, and it's kind of weird, because when I was a kid, I used to read comics, and then I sort of fell off of them when I got older, later on in elementary school. Things just got ridiculous.
But a lot of people are upset about these reboots, but honestly, I think comic books needed a new face.
Yeah.
I think they needed something fresh, something new, something to attract their audience. You know what? If you're a hardcore comic book fan, you're always going to be there. But there's a lot of people that trailed off, and there's a whole new group of people that don't know where to start from, and why not, you know, on a business point of view,
yeah,
why not start off something new for them, right?
Yeah, and I could say I was definitely one of them. I hadn't read comics in ages, and then I heard the stories of, like, them rebooting the universe with Flashpoint, and I started reading Flashpoint, and then I read the New 52 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, there's a lot of really bad New 52 stuff.
Yes, there is.
More specifically, titles like Static Shock and Hawk and Dove, and...
Yeah.
I can name a few other ones that are pretty bad that I read. I'm not even sure why I read them. But yeah, I don't know. But they did a lot of good with it. And I like how the industry's, like, picking up steam again.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, it'd be kind of sad to see that this sort of thing go. I know, like, Prince dying en masse around the world, but, like, the fact that they're still able to hold their own is kind of cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, when the final issue comes out, expect us to talk about it probably on the podcast more than likely, but also
yeah.
I will be writing an article. So.
All right, so you'll be able to hear his thoughts on the website. Anyways, that's pretty much all the time we have for this week. We didn't get any questions, so we're not going to answer any questions this week. I'm sorry, guys. More so, you guys should be sorry, because you should ask us questions, and we can answer them for you. But if you want to send us questions, you can send them to podcast@thatsyourgarbage.com, or you could send them to us via Twitter at That's Your Garbage. There's also the comment thread if you want to just post them there. And we have tons of new stuff coming up soon on the website.
And as always, check us out on www.thatsyourgarbage.com.
You know, I like to say that, but like you say it much better than me, so I just let you say it. But yeah, that's the podcast for this week, guys. You'll hear from us next week.